We're recording this is March 17th, St. Paul's. Okay. And we're in Hebronville, Texas, interviewing former county judge Horacio Lacho Ramirez. Also, doctor of veterinary medicine, no? You a veterinarian?
No, of course not.
No?
No.
Okay. Who was,
well, I just thought... Homero Martinez, he passed away.
Okay. That's another person.
Yeah, he was an officer for 16 years. He okay. passed away. Oh, back in... during the 90s, but I don't remember.
Okay. When you count?
I was county judge from 1986. That's when I won. Took office in 87.
Uh-huh.
And I was county judge for 3 terms. My term ended in 1999.
Well, we want to discuss politics, but we also want to discuss your life. When were you born? Who were you born to?
Okay, I was born here in Hebron, 22 December the 5th, and my father was Rafael Ramirez, and my mother was Barrera Guerra Ramirez, and I went to primary school here in Hebronville. In the past, the old timers in Hebronville had a little school in Espanol, in Spanish, because they were very much in favor of keeping the culture of the young ones alive, and so I was there to the 6th grade, and from there I went into the school system here locally, the public school system. But a lady that used to teach there at Colegio Altamirano, that was the name of the school, insisted that I go to Mexico, to Saltillo, Mexico, and enroll at the Ateneo Fuentes, which was a very prestigious school in Saltillo. So I did that in 1937. My grandparents moved to Monterrey. So I came back to Monterrey and finished my secundaria, which is high school, in Mexico, and came back to the States in 1940, right before Pearl Harbor. And I enrolled here. I needed 2 English courses in order to graduate from high school in Hebronville in order to attend college. So that's what we did. And of course, in December the 7th, 1941, Pearl Harbor was bombed. And I was at an age where I could go into the service, so I volunteered to the service in the early part of 1942. And prior to that, I went to St. Mary's University to take law. But I interrupted myself by volunteering for the service. And I went into the Air Corps. And of course, I was in the Air Corps from there on. And I washed out on my pilot training, so they made out a gunner out of me, a tail gunner. So that's the way that I spent the rest of my service. And we were in the invasion of southern France. And from there, we went on to Dijon, France, and continued bombing Germany. At any rate, on my 64th mission, the war ended, so I was shipped back to the States, and I tried to go to law school in Cumberland, Tennessee, which was a school that you one day, one year, and then you could come back and have a state legislature. Endorse you to the parents. I didn't particularly care for the school in Tennessee, so I came back to St. Mary's. And I went through pre-law and then went to law school. But then I decided to get married and I came back home, and that was the end of my education. And so I went to the lake in San Antonio. And she finished there, and she decided to go back to Rio Grande City. Now, she is from Rio Grande City, and her parents were Raimundo Margo, and her mother passed away when she was 3 years old. And he remarried, of course. So that's when I came back to Heavenville and started to open up a dairy farm between here and Pajures. We got some property there. And started farming 400 acres of farm cotton and sorghum and peanuts and watermelons and whatever. And I kept my farm in operation until 1986 when I won for the position of county judge. And as of right now, we still have some property in Duval and in Stark County, and we've got a calf and cow operation. Now, prior to my being elected county judge, I was appointed in the late 60s as county and district clerk, and I remained in that position for 8 years. And I decided to run for county judge, and I didn't make it. And I was working at the time for the State Department of Welfare. So they gave me my job back, but I had to go to Zapata. So I worked in Zapata for a number of years. And by then, old Picarillo had been made, appointed district judge, and the Carrillos, and we have very close, we have parientes. So he appointed me as a county attorney.
In Zapata?
No, here in Hebronville.
Oh, here in Hebron.
Yeah. So I came back to Hebronville, and so I stayed there. And I was there for 2 years. And by then, OP got into some problems and had to leave office. So I decided to run for the state legislature, and of course we got beat real bad. Three of us by Mrs. I can't think of the lady's name.
From Ellis.
Yeah. Few stalls. And of course there were five counties, so I had to politic and Star, Duong, Jim Wells, Jim Hall, and Brooks. So we were pretty well beat. So I stayed out of front politics, and then in 85, 86, etc., the county judge, county judge was Romeo Vasquez, real nice family. So I had three opponents on that race, and I won it, and won most precincts. So that's when I took office.
Without a runoff?
No, I had to go into a runoff the first time. I lacked 8 votes for no runoff. So that was.
Who was your runoff opponent?
The local the judge that was in.
The incumbent, Vasquez?
Vasquez.
Mm-hmm.
And the other guy that ran was Mr. Nava, Jose Nava, who was school superintendent here for many years. And so I stayed in that office. Of course, I had opposition every time that I ran. But fortunately, I was able to stay in office for 3 terms.
Mm-hmm.
So that's about it. I mean, really.
Well, you went real fast, so I'm going to go back and ask you questions now.
Sure.
Who were your parents? What were their names and where were they from?
Well, my parents were originally from Hebronville. At least my mother. My father came from Nieder. And of course, most of our grandparents were from Nieder. They came to Hebron back in the 1800s, 1860 or 1870, whatever.
Can we get some names?
Bueno, my grandfather was Francisco Herrera Guerra, and his wife was Pilar Gutierrez. And they were all from Timberville. And my father was Rafael Ramirez. Of course, he passed away back in the 1930. And my mother was Maria Barrera Guerra. I don't know, maybe you remember, but my uncle was a county judge here. His name was Francisco Barrera Guerra. And you might take this, I think he got muy fuerte. Well, he got assassinated in Mataron, the shot. And that was back in October of 1956.
Wow. Wasn't there a prior Mexicano county judge?
No.
He was the first one?
He was the first one.
And they couldn't get over that, huh?
Well, that's what they claimed. It was a hard fight, you know. Jim Hall became espinosized, or whatever you want to call it, when he got elected, you know. And he brought in his commission of sport in Primero, and we had one who was the sheriff, Alonso Taylor, and the rest of the bunch in it were Mexican.
And did you have brothers and sisters?
Yes, I've got, there was five of us in the family. My oldest brother, Rafael Jr., retired as a colonel from service, and he passed away in Abilene. And my sister, she lives in Brownsville, and I've got another sister in San Antonio, Amelia. And my other brother, Francisco Ramirez, he passed away. So actually, I'm the last one in the family. That's about it.
So this other uncle, is that another line of brothers from your father? Was he your father's brother or mother's brother?
My mother's brother.
Your mother's brother.
Right.
Okay. And do the names change here just as a custom? Like you said, your grandfather was, I think you said Gutierrez, and then the son became Guerra?
No. My grandfather was Francisco Barrera Guerra.
Uh-huh.
And my grandmother was Pilar Gutierrez.
Okay, but then their son became? His name?
Francisco Barrera Guerra.
Okay, all right. I guess I'm thinking of the founders, the Benavides, here with one of the land grants. Their first son became Silvestre Gutierrez, and I couldn't figure out why from Benavides you went to Gutierrez. And I mean, I guess people can pick any name they want.
Well, not really, I mean, but she was a Gutierrez.
Yeah.
They probably came from here.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, do you recall any of the stories, the challenge your uncle made? How old were you about in the 50s? You must have been, teenager? No, younger.
1950? I was much younger.
But that was after the war, so you must have been in your 20s?
Yeah.
Did you participate in that election?
In which election?
Of your uncle, Guerra.
Oh yeah, I participated, but I mean, that was before the war when he came into office. He came into office back in the early 40s.
I see.
So I used to politic for him.
What was politics like? What did you all do to get the... You had the poll tax. And you had the Rangers around here, too, the Texas Rangers.
They were all over.
Did you have a Captain Ali around here? Alfred Ali?
Well, he was up in Duval, fortunately.
Well, he lived there once.
Yeah, Joe Bridges was one of the main Rangers in this area.
And William McMurray, no?
Well, William died here. He was from Hebronville. He was a captain. He was a captain of Rangers. He got a lot of property in Zapata. Sacaron mucho aceite y gas.
Mm-hmm.
He passed away about maybe 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm. What were some of the things the Rangers did to the Mexicanada back then?
It was awful. They accused them of cattle rustling and stuff like that. And of course, at the time, there was a lot of bootleggers, and they gunned them down. I mean, really, I mean, no.
Never made it to the courthouse.
No. So that was the main concern at the time, the bootleggers.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you read most of the history of South Texas. The rest of the Rangers and all these big ranchers accumulated all this land with the help of the villagers.
Mm-hmm.
I've got several books in that respect.
Did your family ever lose any land to them or because of them?
No, we did, fortunately.
But all the other land grants were lost, no, except Peñitas or Noriecitas.
Noriecitas.
That's the only one still by the. That Benavides family, now Gutierrez is in Guerras.
Well, there's several. I mean, it's a big land grant. It's a big land grant.
Well, Hebron got half of it. James Hebron.
Well, what happened is that the railroads, Peñitas was the original name of the little town in here in Hebronville. But then, when the railroad came through, the Peña clan did not give the property to the railroad people. So Mr. Hebron just came a little west, and that's where they had the train station. And that's what they had the cattle pens for the cattle, because we used to ship more cattle than any place in the in Texas, out of Hebronville. So they had the pens and the railroad station, and that's how how Hebronville came into being.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Peñitas is just about 3 or 4 miles due east from here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the owners there are some of the Salinas. I don't know if you know Tony Salinas. He's the chairman for the Republican Party. He has been chairman for years and years and years. Real nice guy. And he never gets any votes. Nevertheless, I mean, he got out of pool. He brought George Bush here, and George was running for president. So he had a lot of clout with the Bushes. And of course, it was, to some extent, I think some of the people here in Hebronville were pro-Bush. And he's still here, real nice fellow. We had some problems with the TNRCC in Austin, and so I called Tony and tell him, say, listen, we got a problem here, and he couldn't arrange for us to go to Austin and talk to the new people out there to try and avoid a lot of penalties. You know, the TNRCC is pretty rough.
Mm-hmm.
So he has been very helpful.
Mm-hmm. I do know him now that you mentioned he's a slight fellow. No?
Yeah.
Delgadito, chiquito.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go back to the school, this Colegio Altimirano. Now, this, was this school or this effort by these families part of the LULAC Little School of 400 or something independent?
No, it was strictly people here in, from Hebronville, the Martinez, the Garcias, the Barrera Guerras, the, so they decided to create this school. And some of these books that I've got here, they mention that school.
Mm-hmm.
But in other words, you had to go to the Colegio Tamirano because before you would go to the local public school here. I mean, most people had to go. Well, they insisted on it.
So you were fully bilingual by the time you got there, no? And you already had like advanced training to master the public schools, no? In English only.
Oh, yes, of course, sure. Mm-hmm.
Now, is there a school at the Catholic Church now? The big building in the back there, the white building with the arches on top, what is that?
No, that's the Scottish College. They used to train priests here. They still do.
Train priests?
Franciscanos, Franciscan Fathers.
Okay.
Yeah. A lot of history on that.
Huh.
It was built by the Franciscanos, they did the whole thing.
Okay. So you went to school there what years, do you remember?
Where?
At Altamirano.
Altamirano from the second grade to the sixth grade, seventh grade.
And then you went to Ateneo Fuente?
Fuente
or Fuente?
Fuente.
Fuente, in where?
In Saltillo.
In Saltillo.
Yeah.
Now, is there a connection between this school here and that school there, or just
no,
relatives?
No, not really. I mean, just the lady that used to teach us here. She was from Saltillo, and she talked to my folks and insisted that I go and finish my secundaria and my high school in Mexico, which I didn't.
So as a teenager, you spent your time in Mexico?
Yeah, but I was there from 1937 until 1940.
Wow. Did you ever come to visit your family? Or? Was it expensive to come back and forth?
No. No, I used to come down.
How did you do that? On a bus or train or horse or walk or car?
No, we had this Tex-Mex Railroad has been here forever.
That's right. So the Monterrey, you take the train and right here at Hebron you get off.
Yeah.
My goodness, that's...
Occasionally, and many other times, I mean, my family was pretty well off. Had cars, so they'd go pick me up in Olaredo and bring me to Hebronville to spend the summer or whatever.
Well, how did your family get that land, or how much land are we talking about? You said 400 acres you were farming, but how much was the big spread? How did your family get the land?
Well, we have 1,350 acres here in Duval. It came...
In Duval?
In Duval.
But this is Jim Hall?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't have any property in Jim Hall, just my house and the main house or whatever. And then my wife inherited some land in Starkock. She inherited another 2,000 acres, 2,000 acres.
I'm going to have to look at the geography because I just passed the Duval County line and then I got into the Jim Hall all of a sudden. So it must be, that one must be crooked or this one must be crooked. Something strange about the county line.
I was named Rancher of the Year this year, so this little history about it.
Oh, good. I hope that you got a spare copy.
Yeah, we got two of them. We got two of them. We're a two-paper county, no como San Antonio, que no pasa en. We got the Hebronville Review and I've got...
That's good that you got at least two papers to compete, no? What's the story behind the two papers there? The Enterprise is the oldest, no?
Yeah. And the View, it's the newest. But, I mean, you could call it two papers.
Okay. So why did the View start?
The View's been here for about 10 or 10 years, I guess.
But why did it start?
I guess he was...
Somebody was...
Good competition.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. All right. Well, then let's talk about high school. I mean, you No, well, you, yeah, did you ever finish those English courses here at the public school?
Well, that's the only way I'd have to enroll in St. Mary's. I enrolled in St. Mary's in September of 1941.
Mm-hmm. Well, what was high school like? It's the first time you've been around gringos, no. Because basically you were in Saltillo.
No, it was fine. No problem.
In the 40s, no problems.
We played football. So there's no problem back in the 40s.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Mexicanos began graduating about then. There weren't many Mexicanos graduating before that.
Well, our graduating class was 17.
Mm-hmm. Many Mexicanos. You remember?
Yeah, about better than half Mexicanos.
Uh-huh.
Hay muchos gringos aquí, there's not too many. I mean, they left or whatever.
Except the ones that own the banks.
Well,
I looked at the directors' names of the banks and they're all Anglos. I didn't think I saw Mexicano.
Well, the Hebron Real Estate Bank, we have quite a few. Of course, Oscar White was the guy that initiated the...
That one?
That one. And and in the Hebron, and here in the First National Bank, which is the oldest and the richest bank, they've got a young Mexicano. He's hiding a horse. He's a permanent bank.
But as directors?
The directors.
Those are the owners, no?
Well, to some extent, yeah. But there's one, two, three Mexicanos. Brian Gonzalez, who worked there for 35 years, he's a director. And there's Martinez Roy, Mario Martinez, he's a director. In the First National Bank. And the rest are the Heavens and the Colvins and the Jones. Yeah. And on the Federal State Bank, you have Arturo Benavides, Pareto, he's the director. H.H. Garza, board owner of Cabildeta Ranch, Beefmasters, he's the director. And one that recently passed away, and they've got some people. The Guerra, that's their directors in the Hebron Real Estate Bank.
Mm-hmm. What was the name of this ranch? Violeta?
La Violeta.
Oh, Violeta. Violeta. All right. All right. So, St. Mary's, what made you go to St. Mary's? Is that the school of the reputation?
Well,
you didn't go to Kingsville?
St. Mary's had a real good reputation in the past. They lost. It was a very prestigious school.
Mm-hmm.
Expensive.
Yes, still.
So I took my pre-law courses there and then applied for law school, which is like I say, I decided to get married and quit.
Name either, we just know that you married and that she's from Rio Grande.
Well, her name was Leslie.
Mm-hmm.
Very prominent family. Angiolina, A-N-G-I-O-L-I-N-A, and you better spell it right if you write anything because he is misspelled.
Well, you spelled it, so we're gonna get it right. Okay, and you all had children. Who are they?
We had five. We had my oldest boy. He's a doctor in San Antonio, got a clinic in San Antonio.
What's his name?
Horacio Ramirez. Mm-hmm. And then I've got Leticia Ramirez. She lives in San Diego, California. She worked for the hospitals in San Diego. And then I have Margo Ramirez. She's married to Jim Keys, who's the CEO for 77 in Dallas. And then I have Ricky Ramirez. He's married to Roy Barrera's daughter in San Antonio. She's a dentist in San Antonio. And then my youngest, Roberto Ramirez, and he used to work for the state controller.
Mm-hmm.
And Marisa, of course, she's married to
Rafael Anchia, yeah, Dallas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Leo Nelson. And he worked for Beckman Box and Trenton Davis.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and she worked for the Chamber of Commerce, you know, the National Chamber of Commerce.
Right. Now, did you marry before the war or after the war?
Right after the war, 1949.
Well, let's go back to the war then. You wanted to be a pilot.
Yeah, I went as a pilot, but I got to San Antonio and they washed me out.
Did the Mexicanos become pilots then?
Oh yeah, of course.
No, what do you mean, of course? No, there was segregation then. Well, this is what you read in the books.
Well, not during the war. At least I didn't see any.
Okay.
I mean, I had a rear end from Rio Grande from Roma, and he wanted to pilot training, and he could beat his horses and everything. So,
well, there's a famous squadron, 203rd or 209th, was all Mexicano squadron of airplanes.
Pero they're from Mexico. They're
well, that's another one. That's another legend, another story. Yeah, no, there's another group from the U.S. It was all Mexican pilots, yeah. And then there was, of course, all black pilot squadrons.
Okay,
I mean,
I never heard about all Mexican pilots.
Yeah, well, I think it was finally Truman, I think, sometime during time that they went ahead and integrated all the units, all the branches, all the things. But anyway, what was your experience like in the military?
Well, it was fine. Our basic training, they shipped us to Shepherd Field.
Abilene?
Yeah, it was real rough. And from there, they sent
Abilene was rough, or the training was rough?
No, the training was rough. Abilene, my brother lived in Abilene quite a while, and after he retired from the service. And of course, right after we did San Antonio, and I worked out of pilot training, so they were for gunnery school. And from there to Florida, and from there they shipped us overseas, and on the July the 4th, we left Norfolk, Virginia, and we landed in Sardinia, and that's where we started bombing Italy.
You went across by boat or airplane?
By boat.
First time on a big boat?
Yeah.
How was it?
Oh, see. Not too pleasant. You imagine. And we were in Sardinia for 8 or 10 months, I guess, and from there we went on to Corsica. And from Corsica, they started the invasion of southern France, and we participated in that invasion.
69 missions, that was extremely fortunate and lucky for you
Yeah, 64 missions.
To get killed out there. 64.
64 missions. And we were on a mission the day that the war ended, and we came on back. That was the end of the war. I believe it was May the 8th, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
About 45.
Well, what rank did you come back with, or what medals did you come back with?
Staff Sergeant.
Well, that's better than Buck Private.
Staff Sergeant. And I had six air medals, I mean. If you were in the Air Force, I mean, you got medals for anything. And of course, for each medal, you get 5 points. And if you have 85 points during the course of the years of war that you were in, and experimentals, and there's some of the other. I competed my 85 points, you know, to get out of the service, which I did. So I was about in.
You didn't stay in the reserves when you came in?
No.
That was it?
No, I didn't.
And tell me a little bit about this Cumberland School of Law that you wanted to use your GI benefits with.
The reason, because a lot of people that were originally, they went to Cumberland. In fact, I think that even Nagua Denise, I don't know what he...
I heard the name.
He went to Cumberland. And what the, you get there, say on a Monday, and you start going to class, and in 1 year's time, you were ready to graduate. But then, if you came back to Texas, you needed a state rep or to endorse you so that you could take the bar exam. So I went out there, but I mean, there were a bunch of guys over there, all with little babies, you know, it was amazing. I said, man, I'll just go back to the same race. And I came back the same area. That's when I met my wife. That's when I should have stayed with it, you know. You never know.
Okay, so you, when did you both move back here and stay here then start your raising your family and start your life here?
In 1949, we got married. We came from Rio Grande City, and that's where we make our home. Made a home here in Hebron since 1949.
Since then. All right, well, let's take the first appointment. You said you got appointed county auditor and county clerk?
No, I got appointed county clerk, and county and district clerk.
County and district clerk.
And of course, I stayed there for 8 years.
Who appointed you?
O.P. Carrillo.
Okay, through the friendship and the ranching operations in Duval.
And well, yeah, and of course he was a district judge.
Ah, but you had run before, didn't you? No, that was the first public office you held?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
I had opposition 1 year, but I won. So it was 2 terms.
So that's in the early 50s?
No, that was in the late 60s.
Late 60s? Okay.
That's right.
How much I know prices have changed, but how much did it cost you to run for county clerk back then? In the races, how much did you spend?
Not too much.
How did you do the campaigning then? Pachangas?
Pachangas and going by house to house and all that kind of stuff. The county, the job, the county and district clerk's position didn't take that much money, you know, as long as you were there at the courthouse. Now, the county judge's position, that's just expensive. My first favorite thing, I spent about $45,000 at least.
And how do you raise that in a county like this? Barbecues, donations, fundraisers, loans, how do you do this? Auction cows?
Mostly loans. Uh-huh. There are very few people that put up the money. Once you're there the first term, then I had a little help from people that quail hunters that come to the ranch to hunt. They'd give me $1,000 and stuff like that.
Well, you ran for county judge once, no? Before. No, or what did you run for? State representative.
The thing was back in 1960, okay, in 1956, my uncle was a county judge, and of course he died, he was shot.
How long was he in office?
16 years.
16 years.
He came into office back in the early 40s.
Did anybody solve the murder?
Well, he went out there, but according to self-defense, 3 shots in the back, and they called it self-defense.
Oh, who was the shooter?
Huh? A constable.
What was his name?
Rafael Garza.
Self-defense.
They were at this used to go out there and drink beer at this place. And the reason that this crime occurred was that they had a shooting here in a beer joint. And this guy shot one guy, and he went and a lady friend. They were dancing in the beer joint. So when the case came to trial, Judge Wright from Laredo appointed my uncle to defend this young guy, which he did. So this Garza family took offense that he had done that. And they couldn't find the case, they couldn't find a jury here in Evansville. So they moved the thing to Laredo. Jimmy Caseman was a DA in Laredo. And according to them, they couldn't find anybody. It was a politically motivated thing. So they couldn't get a jury in Laredo. So they moved it to San Antonio. And in San Antonio, it was a whole. All the Americanos, with, and they were back in this. They instigated the killing. But the funny thing about it is that the prosecuting assistant prosecutor in San Antonio was Roy Barrera.
Senior.
And he was working with, I think the prosecutor was, his last name was Green. Publicly found. So he was doing a hell of a good job. But, just like I said, they insisted that it was self-defense, and he got off clean. And then it turns out that 30 years later, or 27 years later, my son marries Roy Barrera's daughter. It's the funniest thing, coincidence. It's really a small world.
Okay, so, but when did you run for state representative, or why did you run for that?
Well, I was not doing anything, so I decided to run.
Did you get defeated as county clerk?
No.
You stopped running?
I quit running.
Tired of the job?
Well, they gave me the position of auditor, so I stayed as an auditor for a couple of years.
Uh-huh.
And then I decided to run for state rep.
What year was that, you know?
68. Yeah.
Who did you run against? Or was it a vacant seat? One of the Carrillos was state senator, state representative, state something by
Oscar,
then.
Oscar Carrillo was a state state rep. I can't think of the lady's name. She was from Madis,
Okay. But she was in, you ran against her?
Grossbeck. She was strong, yeah. And Homero Barrera. No, Homero Canales also ran in the same way. But she beat us. Both of them.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the end of that.
Is Hebronville an incorporated city?
No.
It's like Zapata, unincorporated city.
Right.
Why is that?
Well, it will be just a duplication of services, really. If you make it a city, you have to have police chief and 3 or 4 or 5 police officers. And here, you just have a sheriff, but he's got a big staff. He's got about 15 or 16 deputies for a good town of Cambridgeville.
And who picks up the garbage? And who picks up the stray dogs? And who paves the streets? And
the county.
So it falls in the county commissioner's court to administer all of those things?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, we'll get to that, I guess. So, after the state representative race,
I kept the low profile to direct the county judge in 86.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
And you're raising cattle all this time, or
raising cattle?
Go back to the Department of Human Services.
Well, I worked for Human Services. I worked for the USDA for about a year, and right after I got married, and then with the Texas Department of Agriculture with John C. White, and then went with state welfare. Mm-hmm. Stayed 16 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what made you decide to run for county judge in 1986?
Well, I felt that I had a good chance for one.
People didn't like the incumbent?
Well, he was a nice fellow, but he was doing things that did not have, that the people didn't like.
Such as, I mean, what are those things around?
Well, he was
Jim Hall County.
Well, the reason that my biggest thing is that they were trying to bring in a prison to Jim Hall, and I was against it. I think that it would lower values, and most people didn't want it like that prison here in Hebronville, although it was low security, what do you call it?
Minimum security.
Minimum security.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my main concern. And people agreed with me. I won.
Mm-hmm. But you had a runoff, no?
I had a runoff.
And you spent about
$25,000?
20 to 25. Was it pretty much the same as you do now? You put up signs everywhere, and then you have these cookouts? And
yeah, same old thing.
Did the eliminating the poll tax have any drastic change to you in the 60s?
Not really.
No?
Most of the times they used to give you the poll tax, so now they don't. It doesn't cost you anything to register.
Sure. Well, that must have been the leftovers of George Parr. What machine operated around here? The Martin machine out of Laredo? Or who gave you the poll taxes? The local politicos?
The local people.
Uh-huh. No machines here.
They claimed that George Parr. And to some extent, I mean, George was a real nice fellow. I liked George.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. And to some extent, he controlled quite a few counties.
Mm-hmm. Is there a community college district here?
Not in Hebron.
Not in Jim Hogg at all?
No.
And in Duval?
Not that I know of.
Mm-hmm. And Jim Wells? Parrillo?
Yeah, Jim Wells, maybe.
That has a community college?
I don't think so.
Falfurrias, Brooks County doesn't?
No, they don't.
Well, that might be a project, if you're still looking for things to do.
No.
All right. So as county judge, you were in there 3 terms? What are some of the things that you face? What's your best accomplishment and your worst scenario in any of those terms or each term?
Well, to me, the fact that we defeated the
incumbent.
And the prison.
On the prison.
Oh, yeah. And to me, my most significant thing is that we closed our landfill altogether because we're having a bunch of problems with it. And we went into taking our trash out of Hebronville. We have a recycling center here in Hebronville, and all our trash goes to Lynn or someplace else.
Where?
Lynn, San Manuel.
Lynn? L-I-N-N?
L-Y-N-N.
Is that a little town or something?
Yeah, it's San Manuel. You know where San Manuel is, don't you?
No? Okay, but I'm sure I'll look for it in the map.
Well, how did you get here?
I came to Laredo and then across back here.
Oh, I see, okay. Well, San Manuel is about 17 miles south of Edinburgh on 281.
Okay, okay.
And they've got a landfill over there. So they've got equipment that picks up all their trash. And they take it over there.
Is that a contract with like waste management or?
Yeah, it's a contract with, I can't think of the name of the people that we do business with. It's one of those waste management companies.
Mm-hmm. Big contract.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Now that was the 86, that Jimmy Carter years. And then the Ronald Reagan years.
Yeah.
When can you benchmark that Hebronville, the city, begin losing population and businesses and declining?
Well, really and truly, I mean, we've been at the same since the last 10 years. Our population that's not gone over 5,000.
Mm-hmm.
And the businesses that we have, they're still around. Posadas, we've been in the grocery business for the last 50 years here. And then Brian Gonzalez, he's got two Stop and Shop. And then we've got the Family Center, which is a big store. It belongs to Armando Peña from Roma. He's got three of them. He's got one here, one in Zapata, and one in Roma. And of course, we've got a Maverick, Churchy.
But the biggest employer now is not oil and gas, and it's not the cattle industry. Maybe the banks, there's three banks, but I think it's the school district, no? That's probably the biggest payroll.
School district and the county, that's it.
So local government is the biggest employer.
Yeah, well, we used to have a lot. It might be coming back, this oil and gas business, because they found some good wells out here. So I might have a turnover.
Mm-hmm.
But we had to glut for a while, and I mean, I think that the recession is over. I don't know. I don't believe it, really.
Well, when you were county judge, what was the annual budget for the county, more or less?
More or less about five million.
5 million. And mostly out of land taxes or is it oil, gas, mineral rights?
Land taxes, primarily, and oil and gas.
Mm-hmm.
And of course your local center. And we pay high taxes here. Our tax rate is, well, in the county, we just had a rollback election, but they lost. Our school tax, our county taxes, it's $1.21 per hundred. And in the school, it's $1.06 or $1.07.
Now, of course, there's no sales tax because you don't have a city.
Yeah, we have a sales tax.
Well, how did you do that?
I passed.
In second term, third term?
On my last term.
Third term.
And I was
how could you do that if there's no city?
Huh?
They have a county sales tax provision?
Yeah.
For unincorporated areas, you can do a sales. And that money comes to the county.
To the county. That was a lifesaver.
Yes.
Yes, it was. Of course, you get a little money, I don't know just how much now. From the tobacco industry, that what I just got was that.
But that's for health design projects, no?
Yeah, strictly for the welfare.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Now, the county judge's staff, how many people do you have working with?
Just my secretaries.
So who writes proposals, or who writes for grants, or?
Well, we got through the Laredo South Texas Development Council, the CDC.
Okay. Is there a Texas Migrant Council thing here?
Yeah.
There is a Head Start. Texas Head Migrant Council.
Yeah, it comes from CATS. How's your voter doing over there?
In Uvalde?
In Uvalde.
Well, I don't know. I guess he's doing all right. He's still there. Yeah, did you belong to the County Judges Association? Is that where you met him?
Yeah, I helped him get elected. I gave him money when he first ran.
Really?
Yeah, I was like.
Well, because he saw all the former Raza Unida guys from the South County then early.
Yeah.
That was one of our counties back when. Because I was county judge from 74 to 81.
74 to 81.
I was.
Right.
And he was at the tail end. At the tail end, I guess.
Jimmy Patterson took his place.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. But now Jimmy Patterson, well, they all became Democrats, after a while. Well, tell me, have you been involved in the party politics, the Democratic Party politics? Precinct chair, county chair, delegate, committeeman.
Well, I was delegate. I was from here since time immemorial. I mean, before I even was county judge.
Really?
They just sent me to the state convention. And of course, I was a national delegate when Clinton got in.
And that's not too long ago.
1991,
92. Oh, so as county judge, you went up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember the effort by Leonel Castillo from Houston to become the state chair in the 70s?
No.
No? Do you remember any Mexicano ever wanting to be a Democratic state chair?
I believe that the one that got that was from Laredo, who then Garcia. And then he went for a district judge, and of course he got into a bunch of problems.
Mm-hmm. When was that, you remember?
It was in the early 70s, I guess.
So that may have been the time of this Leonel Castillo, see?
Yeah, maybe so.
I interviewed Leonel Castillo, that's how I know the story.
Oh, I see.
And he said that the Valley people, particularly the Laredo and Hidalgo, told him, we already cut our deal with Briscoe and you're not in it. So they voted against him. And then the party offered him to run for state treasurer in the state.
Yeah.
And he declined, so he went and ran for controller in Houston and, you know, so on. Then game.
Let me ask you this, if you're familiar. Because I met her in New York City when we went to the National Convention. Silvia Garcia from Bedboat.
Yes, she's now the controller.
She won as a state, as Harris County Controller, big time.
Right.
And she just ran for county commissioner. I think she won, did she?
I don't know. I don't know. I saw that she was running, but I don't know if she won.
Siempre me mandó un retrato. I sent her a letter. I helped her with her cash.
Good.
Yeah.
So she won. She's the first Mexicana commissioner then.
Well, so she won it.
Did she won?
And apparently she was very strong. I haven't heard from her. She invited me to the reception over there. Or in Benbow, whenever she came home. But she ran for a county commissioner in Harris County.
Right.
And apparently she was going to support it.
I thought she was going to run for Congress. I interviewed her also as part of this project.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
So, that's easy.
Yeah, so you'll be in good company with all of those people.
Oh, yeah, she's a quiet lady, isn't she?
Mm-hmm. Well, what else did you do as county judge?
That's about it. I mean, I have no other recollections.
Well, if you were to look back in all your involvement, all your activities, and if you could, what would be some of the things you would change now about the way politics are run, or the Mexicano situation, or the gringos, or whatever?
I would just keep the status quo as it is. We cannot tenemos ni un Mexicano in office, no? In fact, we haven't had any in the last 4 years.
Well, I think that, you know, my era of the Raza Unida Party, I think that's about the end of the Americanos holding office in the border belt. Because there were some then, and now there aren't any more now. I think we were the ones who closed that coffin.
Yeah.
Now it's in further north.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and Chia's on the school board, you know, Leo's on the school board, we're fighting to get more seats, and, you know. Morales is running for the Senate, Sanchez is running for governor. I mean, things have changed a great deal.
I mean, what I hope Morales gets it, I mean, I don't know.
Victor.
Mm-hmm. We voted for Victor here. Yeah.
Well, the interesting thing is that most of the Democratic Party leaders are all saying vote for Kirk.
Well, you're big hunches.
But Henry, the people are not listening.
Henry Cisneros is backing Kirk 100%.
Yeah.
I don't know if Tony Sanchez
will get
involved. I don't think so.
No, I don't
think so.
What do you think about that Henry Cisneros is doing those things and others? Billy Leo over here saying we got to have Kirk on the ticket.
Is that what Billy Leo says?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the paper.
Well, who won the damn race there in Hidalgo County?
Morales.
Eh?
Morales. Victor Morales. We're talking about Victor and Kirk and Sharp.
No, I mean
and
the county judges racing.
Oh, they're in a runoff. Pulido is in a runoff with Garcia. Garcia got more votes.
Ramon Garcia got more votes?
Yes, 44%, I think.
How about that?
Mm-hmm. And they're in a runoff.
How about that?
But what do you think about this Victor Morales and Kirk option? Here we have a chance to elect a senator. It's probably going to be there the rest of our lives. And our Mexicano leadership is saying, vote for Kirk.
Well, maybe they won't pay attention to that.
The people are not. I mean, in the last vote, they didn't. Is there any runoffs here in Jim Hall?
Yeah, we got one for the county judge's office.
Oh, so there'll be a big turnout here.
Yeah.
And you think Morales is going to carry Hogg again?
What others would probably carry Hebron will be. You took the last time.
Yeah.
As long as there's a Hispanic on the ballot, you know, in this area, he's going to be.
Why do you think that De Leon running for agriculture commissioner the second time now and Madrigal running for land commissioner didn't do much better?
Well, I voted for both of them. I don't know. I don't know if I got the newspaper kind of thing that came out.
Yeah, they carried, but they carried, but they didn't carry it strong enough. You know.
Oh, that right?
Yeah, with a higher turnout, they would have been able to win because they came close, especially De Leon. He got 47% of the vote, 48% of the vote, something like that. But it wasn't enough. Do you think the days of the white candidates in the Democratic Party is over?
I don't think so, really.
Well, who's left? I mean, they're all over in the Republican Party side.
Well, I mean, we'll have to see how this election comes up, you know. Not much. See, we didn't do any much better. Es porque la sangre india, you know, realmente. Un mexicano no puede ver otro allá arriba porque tiene que bajar. That's what happened. That's the history of our people, unfortunately.
You believe that?
I believe it.
Okay.
Well, you saw it with Morales, I mean, hey. Tony didn't have the opposition on this. It cost him about $15 million, you know.
Yeah. You don't think that John Cornyn had anything to do with that? Telling Dan Morales, you better get out of this race or you're going to get indicted?
Well, I don't know. Maybe so.
Yeah, I was sure surprised and shocked everybody. At the last minute. Yeah. And he hasn't been indicted.
Oh, he hasn't?
No.
No.
Nothing's happened to him.
Well, maybe he could have been.
Everything's quiet.
Well, I'd like to see John Sharp get it.
But he has no... well, now he's got Dewhurst with a lot of money on that other side. You like John Sharp?
Yeah. A good friend of mine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let me ask you, who do you think the most effective Mexican-American leader today is?
Well, it used to be Henry Cisneros, really, but he's out of politics. Well, not out of politics completely, but he decided not to run for anything. But people still listen to him.
What is the most pressing issue facing the Mexican-American community?
Education, I would say. Mm-hmm.
Do you use the word Hispanic or Mexican or Mexican-American or Chicano or Latino? What word do you use?
I've never thought about it, but Hispanic.
Okay. In Espanol? In Espanol?
Mexicano.
Right. Okay. All right. Which is the most effective Hispanic organization?
The LULACs, I think.
LULACs? Is there a chapter here?
No, we don't have a chapter here. They're strong in Corpus.
Okay. Do you belong to any organizations here? When you were active, what did you belong to?
Not to Columbus.
Okay.
But then I quit going to church. I think I was pressurized.
Okay. Well, what is leadership to you?
Leadership?
What is it?
Well, an individual that the rest of the people can relate to.
How do you lead?
By example, I mean.
Okay. Do you have a lot of poor people in Jim Hall County?
No. Couldn't say this. they don't want to work. It's fun.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Well, I was going to ask you about the Mexicanos from Mexico. Do you have a large number of Mexicanos here?
Well, not a large number, but we do have some.
Working mostly in the ranches?
Branches.
Those want to work.
those are the most energetic and the most, to me, trustworthy people that come over here. Because they come out here to work, and that's what they do.
You think they ever given citizenship?
Sure, they deserve it.
Well, they're not going back, I mean, yeah.
We got one young man that works with my son. He just got back from Mexico just 2 weeks ago. And I mean, that guy, he works 7 days a week. Without having anybody to be behind him, he can learn his own. He's got a responsibility to take care of it. It's incredible. These only vivos are smart.
Mm-hmm.
Very smart people. He's got a daughter in Dallas, and just a couple of 3 months back, he decided to go to Dallas to visit his daughter. So he got his little pickup. My son bought a pickup one. And he went all the way to Dallas, and he managed to find for a daughter to live there. They made arrangements. So he went out there and spent a couple of 3 days with her, came on back to the work. I don't drive to Dallas. I mean,
you don't have to. You can fly southwest, and,
well, that's
and,
right.
And your daughter will pick you up, or the son-in-law.
That's right.
Speaking of which, your interview will be at the library, so it's going to take a while to do it, but when it gets done, you might want to go to the library in Arlington and check it out and see, you know, because it'll be, the copy there will be hardbound. You'll get a softbound spiral thing. What would you tell young people today about the future and why they should be involved?
Well, we try to get the young people involved, but you have a hard time trying to get them out to vote, you know.
Why?
They just don't have the I hope that this race this year, with the governor's race, that they get out and vote. And I think that they have to be motivated. And I think this race has motivated a bunch of people to go out. At least that's my thinking. But then in the past, you just don't. Let me ask you another thing. How is Henry Cuellar going to do against Bonilla?
I think he's going to lose.
Who?
Cuellar.
I don't like that son.
I neither like him or dislike him. I don't know him. I know who he is.
Well,
but
he went up there with Perry and was Thursday. Forget it.
Well, you know, do you remember Albert Bustamante? He was a county judge,
yeah.
Also. He fell asleep at the wheel, or on purpose, he thought he could pull it off. But he added a lot of conservative areas in that redistricting in the 90s.
Yeah.
And we lost that seat. Now, I don't know what, now in the 2000s, the redistricting hasn't gotten much better because it's been done by the Republicans and Republican courts. Mm-hmm. So it hasn't gotten much better. That's why I think Cuellar will lose.
Right.
Now, of course, nobody is running his new district. Mm-hmm. And there is a reported swing back from the Republicans to the Democrats by a lot of people. Mm-hmm. That they're beginning to be concerned about the extreme conservatism and reactionary politics and the religious right and all of those things that are happening now with the Bush and all those people in office. If that continues, Cuellar might win. What do you think of your congressman, Ciro Rodriguez?
He's okay. I like Ciro. Mm-hmm. Of course, we lost a good man. I feel Tejeda was a great man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And your representative, Rangel?
Nice lady. She's okay.
That's amazing that this group would come all the way out here, no?
Well, can you mention what they did that, with Sadina? She was a state rep from Duar. They redistricted that thing all the way to the rail and onto Zapata, around us. And of course, he lost. I don't know who won, really. It was either Guillen or some of that. But there's no sense to the redistricting right there. You've got Duval, Jim Wales, Brooks, on the same area. Barely went all around, all the way through Laredo, part of Laredo, and onto Zapata, and on back. Mm-hmm. That was the silliest thing I heard some of that.
Well, like his district, you know, Corpus all the way out here. That's a strange sliver across, or diagonally across. And she's not health-wise doing very well, no?
Well, she's got her health under control right now. Mm-hmm. I just saw her recently. Well, she's got things, though. She's got...
Do any of you in these counties get together and talk about the future, like who's going to run if Irma Rangel needs to be replaced? Or, you know, if Ciro decides to quit, who's going to run there?
Well, actually, I mean, I've been out now for a couple of years. But when I was county judge, we endorsed Al Gore. Mm-hmm. And, of course, he didn't quite make it.
Some people say he won. I mean, he lost in the Supreme Court.
I was talking when he and Clinton ran.
The first time around.
The first time around.
Mm-hmm.
And Mrs. Gore was going to run, but she backed out of the news.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You were telling me a story when I first came into your house about a state convention and this young man that you all were grooming. That gave a speech. His name was Gutierrez, but it wasn't me. I mean, it was somebody else.
Yeah.
Would you want to tell me that story again in the context? Or?
Well, the thing is this, I mean, in fact, Judy Ciferini was just a squirt, but then, that time. So it's been 25 years ago. And I got credentials for this young boy, and a credential for my son, but he couldn't make it to go to the state convention. And of course, I've been going to state convention all my life. So that day I got with Randall Nye, and I told him, I says, let's get your tío to help us get somebody from Everville. Any kind of a position, just to me. So they decided, well, okay, he can run for the young Democrat of the party. And he was running against a guy from San Antonio. And so we talked to Pepe Martin and to his crowd. Said, okay, let's go. We'll endorse him.
And what was his name?
Rudy Gutierrez, Rojo Gutierrez.
Where is he from?
From Hempersville.
Okay.
So when they get back to the convention, he had to make a speech, you know, and his opponent had to make a speech. So, primero habló el americano, and he said, well, I want to help the Democratic Party from the White House to the State House or the Court House or whatever. Y después seguía, este muchacho Gutierrez. And it was during the Raza Unida deal, I mean, about that time. And he got up and says, well, I'm going to endorse the Democratic Party from the White House to the courthouse, with the exception of the governor.
Don Frisco.
And of course, all the people from the rail, everybody was with Don Frisco. Evidently, he was pretty nice, and he was a nice guy. I met him once or twice. He used to come out here. So that, boy, I mean, Vino Rendo Nye, Pepe Martins, you know, just scratching their heads, you know.
So what happened to Rudy Gutierrez?
No, he's the prosecutor here for the district judges. He's been in that office now for forever.
Has he lived that down?
Huh?
Has he lived that down?
I imagine so, I mean.
How did you feel about the Raza Unida Party?
Well, it was a new thing, and there were strictly Democrats over here at the time. I think you all did a lot of good.
You think we need it now?
Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe a little further north. Whatever happened to Ramsey, anyhow?
He's in prison.
Oh.
For life.
Is that right?
Three times.
Is he a three-time loser? Well, he won in Jim Hall County, I tell you, when he ran for governor. I remember that very distinctly. And when he got caught, that set us back quite a few years.
I was thinking about it this morning because the newspaper in Laredo said that Tony Sanchez was the first Hispanic to be nominated for governor, and I'm thinking, what history books are these people reading? Because you know, even Henry B. Gonzalez back in, I mean, he wasn't the nominee, he lost, but he ran. He ran. How'd you feel about him?
Good man. I don't know about Charlie. Is he doing any good?
His wife doesn't think so. They just filed for divorce.
Oh, is that right?
It's in the newspaper this weekend.
Ah,
4 years of marriage. Not too bad. Yeah. 2 years more than the average. People get divorced within, 90% get divorced within the first 2 years of marriage. Well, Judge, is there anything you want to say, anything we haven't covered, or something you wanted to mention? You were a delegate at the Clinton nomination?
Yeah.
Any exciting thing happened to you in New York?
Oh, yeah. Well, we went to a bunch of parties. Tavern on the Grand. Well, we still had a few Democrats, you know, in office. So everybody had a little party. Gary Moore had a party. And John Sharp had a party. And I don't know if we're ever going to get back to that.
Are you a delegate now?
No, I didn't fight. I'm getting too old. I used to enjoy those conventions. Yep.
Well, Judge, we want to thank you then for taking time off this afternoon to do this.
Thank you so much, sir. So I want to give you a copy of this tape so you can take with you and look at it or whatever.
Can I film this plaque and some of these books that you have here?
Oh, sure.
All right. Judge, who are these people? Who's in this photograph?
That's my son-in-law, Jim Keyes, that country Santa Fox.
Okay. And the family picture up there?
Oh, that's my family, of course.
Is that your mama?
My wife's aunt.
Ah.
My mother's aunt. There.
Oh. So the older lady is your wife's aunt?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She raised her.
Okay. And then...
That's my father over there.
Okay, we'll get to him in a minute there. Who are the cowboys up there?
That's my father and a friend.
Who's your father? Which one?
Rafael Ramirez.
On the left?
Yeah.
And that, you're the soldier?
Who?
You, the soldier.
Oh, that's me when I was in there.
Yeah. And then the other people there in the winter coats?
Well, this is my father,
uh-huh.
My mother, my grandmother, and my great-great-grandmother.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Five three generations. We're going to do that.
Let me see if I can get closer to this and zoom and get this in there. Do you know where they were? Why are they wearing those winter coats? They must have been in Dallas?
No, down in El Rancho.
Oh, it gets really cold in Hebron, eh?
Yeah.
My goodness. And then I got your dad up here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is the award you just got as Rancher of the Year?
Yeah.
At the stock show?
Yeah.
Yesterday, no?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, we thank you, sir, for the interview and the time.
This is my...
I don't know if I can get out there. I'm going to have to switch batteries. Let me switch batteries, okay?
Okay.
Because I'm tight.